turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And I want to begin reading in verse 19. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, plural. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, these are some of the instructions to Timothy from the Apostle Paul. And as such, I have to pay close attention to these because of the place where I'm standing right now, and endeavor to teach the Word of God to those who would hear it. These are Paul's instructions to another preacher, but they're good for everybody. I must pay close attention, but the instructions are profitable for every believer, because every believer is to be able to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter put it this way, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Part I like about that, I don't have to give a reason to every man, Mason. Every man that asks.
Yeah, that's right.
There for a while, I was giving an answer to people who weren't asking any questions. And that way leads difficulties. Let's just put it that way. It's called casting pearl before swine. Your knowledge of Christ is the only pearl you've got. Anyhow, but any man that asks of you, you are to be able to give the reason for the hope that lies within you.
Right.
That's not a burden. It's a gift. Because every true believer is happy to talk about Jesus Christ. The scary part comes in that you want to be able to talk about Jesus Christ in a way that honors him. And that's the difficult part, too. Because flesh will get in the way sometimes. Now, no one really wants to sound like a fool. Well, I'll take that back. Sometimes I don't mind sounding like a fool, but I don't want to be taken as a fool. I don't want to speak as a fool. I will use foolish words. Usually it's their own foolish words. And I'll use them to mock and to ridicule, in order, hopefully, to get some people to think about what is said and what they have said. And I will use sarcasm because I'm good at it. Sorry. No, I'm not. I will. I'll use sarcasm. I'll mock because I'm good at that too. And I will do this to get my point across, which hopefully is the work and the person of Jesus Christ. Because you're going to go up there and you'll see him. You know, I come in here and tell you guys that these signs that are on the side of the road, they're putting that stuff up in public. They're putting it up in public. So I reserve the right, personally, myself, to publicly ridicule that. Especially when it is deserving of ridicule, which it usually is. Now, because the people I mock are lying against God.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. They're lying about God, which is a lie against God, which is a sin. And I hate that. It irritates me to no end. I get vexed. I mean, I know exactly how the Apostle Paul felt when he saw that statue that said to the unknown God.
Yeah.
And he just said, you know. He used that to preach a message of the God they didn't know. But that wasn't a statue of him. He used that to tell of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, since these sayings are made in public, I consider it part of my civic duty to publicly make fun of them. I want to speak the truth of Christ and lie not. And I'll take one of those lies and use it to relate to truth. And it keeps me from getting really, really mad. One of the things you will not see on these signs on the side of the road in front of any church or on the billboard outside the road to Walter's house is that God gives repentance. Peradventure that God would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. If you listen to religious people and or programs, you might hear a lot about repentance. You will hear that there are a lot of people who want their loved ones to repent, which I understand. But you will not hear from other places is that repentance is given by Jesus Christ.
Amen, that's right.
You won't hear that.
No, you won't.
I've been there, done that. Repentance is a gift of God.
Amen.
That's what Paul just wrote to Timothy. He told Timothy, remember that. And he told him to avoid foolish and unlearned questions because they gender strife, and they do. I've been there too. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, some of that I have problems with, but that's my personal personality. I'm not real good at meekness, and I'm not real good at being gentle. It's easier to be gentle, let's put it this way, with someone who is sincere and actually has a real question. Now, if somebody gets an accusatory tone in their voice, I can give it right back.
Yeah.
And I have been known to do that. So that's something I have to work on. But repentance is given by God. And repentance is to the acknowledging of the truth.
Amen.
Repentance is not stopping going to bars. It may include that. Repentance is not quit going to the movies. Repentance is not quitting drinking. Repentance is to the acknowledging of the truth. Acts 20:21 puts it this way, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's where repentance goes.
Yeah, amen.
For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow works repentance. It's not sorrow that works repentance. There's a lot of people out there who are sorry for things they have done. And you know why? Because their conscience has not been seared with a hot iron. Your conscience, guilt will make you feel sorry. That's not godly sorrow. Godly sorrow gives repentance. Because it's godly. It comes from God.
Amen.
The Jews in Jerusalem knew this. Peter was relating his visit to Cornelius. And they answered after he gave the description. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God. Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life.
Amen. Yeah.
Repentance comes from God.
Yeah.
See, there's, I don't know how many places out there. There's a bunch of them. Where they try to get you to repent. Where they will try to get you to change your ways. And turn to God. And that's the way they say it. You got to repent and turn to God. No. Repentance is turning to God from idols. It's not turning from your sin to God. You're turning to God from your sin.
Yeah.
And God gives it.
Amen.
And if God gives it, you'll turn.
That's right.
Because repentance is unto life.
Yeah.
And God gives that too. Repentance has to be granted. I don't know. I think that it actually had been granted to Cornelius before Peter ever got there. Because God heard his prayers. So it wasn't Peter's preaching that did anything. Other than gave Cornelius a chance to acknowledge the truth. Because repentance is unto the acknowledgement of the truth. And Cornelius did that when Peter preached to him. Before he got done. He didn't even get finished. And then it says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Recovering oneself out of the snare of the devil can only happen after Christ gives repentance, which is to the acknowledging of the truth. Now this should go without saying, but it doesn't. The evidence of the total depravity of the heart of man is throughout the scripture, but it's not believed. Men are naturally as they are born, dead to God. They are naturally, as they are born, alienated from the life and the light that is in Jesus Christ. That's Scripture. And people will read that, and they'll read it out loud from a pulpit. And then they say, then they will say, but you got to repent. You got to come forward. You got to take the step, the first step, and God will meet you there. I like what Henry Mahan said. The first step's come out of the grave. You're dead. Same thing he said about baptizing babies. And he said, when you baptize a baby, that says, do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And the baby says, wah. Wah means no. Go talk to a corpse and ask him if he believes in Jesus Christ. He won't answer you. Because it's a corpse. It's dead. Repentance has to be given from God. And it has to be given before you can do any recovering. Repentance comes from God. Life comes from God. Faith comes from God. Love comes from God. You know, it almost makes it sound like every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Wait a minute, that's Scripture too. It does. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. And thank you, that's exactly the point I was trying to get across. You know? Those who have not been given repentance are taken captive at the will of the devil. Because man's will has no power. Man's will is corrupt throughout. Man's will hates the light because man loves darkness. And man's will does not cause anyone to be born of God. That's in the first chapter of John. Now, the reason I kind of got onto this, and I was reading this verse, made me think of it, is I've been watching advertisements. There's a new movie coming out. I know, I gotta quit watching TV one of these days. But it's good, because this is the way people think. Now, this new movie is kind of a, I don't know if it's gonna be a fantasy or science fiction sort of thing. But what it is the agents of fate, the agents of destiny, it's a bureau with guys in suits and wearing hats, are going up. This one fellow who has discovered them, and he believes in free will. And he wants to marry this girl or love this girl or whatever, and they want him to go to his own destiny and her to go to hers. And they can't be together. They've made a movie about this. And that should be no big surprise, because this has always happened. The whole story of Frankenstein and Star Trek and half the television shows that are on all have to do with man's free will, which does not exist.
Amen. Man does not exist.
It is a figment of man's imagination. Because man's will is corrupt.
Yeah.
Scott said it, what? You're free as a frog in a snake's belly. You can jump all you want, but you ain't going nowhere. There's a lot of jumping goes around, but ain't nobody goes anywhere. The only thing your free will can help you do is sometimes dig a deeper pit. That's about it. It's not going to help you move up. It's not going to help anyone move up. See, the fellow with free will in this movie, he's supposed to be the good guy. And the agents of the fate department are supposed to be the bad guys. Because someone trying to control the free will of man has to be the bad guy. Doesn't he? That's the way the world thinks. If you ask, you know, the old go to the mall question, ask people how many people are Christian. Ask them how many chose it of their free will. It'd be just about the same exact percentage. When the scripture clearly states that God gives repentance. Yeah. The reason God gives repentance is because you don't have any.
That's right.
I didn't have any. And all I've got now is because he gave it to me. And the world doesn't know that, doesn't want to know that, and will never acknowledge it. Because fate and destiny is evil. That's not fair, Mac. It's not fair, Mason. Everyone knows man has a free will. Wrong. Man's will is just as dead and corrupt as his heart is. And his heart is dead and corrupt as it can get.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't call it depravity. They called it total depravity. Because it was total. Death is an absolute. Death is an absolute unless God gets involved.
Yeah. Amen.
He is life.
Yeah.
He is light. And he gives life. He gives repentance. He gives faith. He gives love. He gives it all. And if he gives it to you, you have it. And if you have it, you'll acknowledge the truth. You'll acknowledge the truth. And if you don't have it, you won't. Now there are those who may give a mental assent to the truth.
Sure.
But acknowledging the truth is acknowledging Christ.
Yeah.
As Lord. He can do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, with whomever he wants. No exceptions. And he does do what he wants. When he wants, where he wants, and with whom he wants. No exceptions. After life is given, after repentance is granted, after faith is given, a believer is no longer taken captive at the will of the devil.
Yeah. Right.
Repentance comes first, long before this. Before you can recover out of the snare. Because if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. We are free to acknowledge our dependence upon Him. The world is dependent upon Him, but they're not free to acknowledge it. They cannot, of their own free will, give homage to God.
Amen.
Give honor to God.
Right.
We have been given that right, that duty,
that
privilege to praise Him as He ought to be praised, to the best of our ability, which sometimes ain't much, but it's all we got, is what He gave us. Because until the Son of God makes you free, you are not free.
Yeah.
We've never been in bondage. We've been in bondage all our lives. Until God gave us life, we were in bondage to sin.
Yeah.
until God gave us life, gave us repentance. I was in bondage to my own foolishness.
That's right. Sure.
Everyone else is too. Until the Son of God makes you free, you are not free. Because unless Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, makes you free, you will never be free. That's the Word of God. That's the truth of God that needs to be acknowledged. And I believe Him. I still remember time bandits, Walter. Another movie where they're running through everything in the world and it gets to the end and they get to meet God. And he says, what was all this about? Why is it? And God looks at him and says, it's got a little something to do with free will. They're not reading this book. They don't want to read this book. They don't want to understand it. They don't want to comprehend it. They do not want to acknowledge the truth of God. They will not have this man to reign over them. I love that parable. They will not have this man because I was there. I didn't want him. He came anyway, but I didn't want him. And he changed my want. And he gave me a will. Because if you will, you'll come. If you will, you can. And you can if you will. And thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's still true today. And that's the only truth that we can have hope in, is in Him. He will have His will. God's will is free. Man, not so much. Well, not at all. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that You did make us willing, that You did give Your people life, that You did give them repentance, that You did give them faith, that You did give them love, and that You did give them the acknowledging of the truth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.